Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave Slow and Steady as She Goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, Stephanie and I. Oh, my gosh, that was my fault. We're having a great old conversation and said, go live now. Oh, my gosh. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another fantastic live episode of Dream Business Radio. I'm your host, Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, coming to you today from Knoxville, Tennessee. It's going to be hard for me. Out this window right here is a beautiful river. You know me and water. We're drawn to water, even though we're not floating right now.
Yes.
But Stephanie Frank is my special guest. And how are you doing today, Stephanie?
I am awesome. You know, you're looking out at the water. I'm looking out at the beautiful woods here in Arizona. Oh,
I know. My wife, Stephanie, we're always like, well, if we had our choice, do we live by the water or do we live in the mountains, like the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia? I don't know. It's like 50-50. We can never decide. That's why we travel around. So,
right. That makes so much sense.
We've known each other a very long time, and I'm so excited to interview you. And introduce you to the Dream Business community. So let me do that. Let me get your professionally written bio, and we'll jump right in.
All right.
A great conversation. Okay, folks. Stephanie Frank is the 4-time international best-selling author of the book Accidental Millionaire, and she's the founder of the Fetch Companies, inspiring dog-loving entrepreneurs to create million-dollar relationships, so the whole pack can stop pooping on the rug and be happier, healthier, and well-behaved. Stephanie helps dog-loving people turn frustration into focus, overwhelm into optimism, and helplessness into happiness when it comes to connecting with yourself and others, including your dogs. Stephanie is uniquely qualified in leading a pack and building great relationships, having built two multi-million dollar businesses before she was 38, which was last year. She is certified in positive psychology, neurolinguistics, body language, and fear-free behavior modification for both canines and humans. Today, Stephanie publishes books and articles that help people fetch happiness. See, this is such great copywriting. Fetch happiness and success. And she's most proud of her newest creation, the Bark Type, which helps humans discover their dog's personality type so they can train, play, and create a stronger bond. I actually cut that down a little bit, but I really loved it. So did you write that yourself, Stephanie?
I did. It's great what happens when you come from the heart.
I know. But the way you use the word fetch, there's just so many things in there. And I could tell you're an NLP person. Oh my gosh. You know, you have such an interesting and varied background. I remember years ago, and I don't know, I'm just going to say 10 or 12 years ago, maybe a little longer, I was getting into the online world and then coaching. Yeah, it was definitely longer than that. And I heard your name from one of my great mentors, Melanie Benson, and she recommended, or when I looked you up, I think that was when the Accidental Millionaire came up, and I was reading books every day almost. Accidental Millionaire, that's me. That's what I want to do. So I read your book, and one thing I did, which I have not really done up until that point, is I sat down, I wrote you a letter. And I told you how much I appreciated the book, but you shared so much of your personal journey and the struggle to start those different companies. And you wrote back. And I think we sort of connected at least online. And it's just been a nice little friendship ever since.
Absolutely.
So I want to jump into the Accidental Millionaire and all, but I always like asking I like asking my guests, stop looking at the water. I'm going to pull my curtain. Are you a first generation entrepreneur, or did you have any mentors, you know, maybe parents or perhaps grandparents?
No, actually, well, my father was an entrepreneur, but I wouldn't call him my mentor necessarily. He was a serial entrepreneur. So he did a lot of things. And my mother worked the same office job for 45 years. So when I was just I was kind of an entrepreneur just coming out of the womb, to be honest. You know, I was the kid that had the lemonade stand. I was the kid that got all the, you know, the kids together and let's go mow lawns or, you know, whatever. And so that was just always kind of in my bones. But at first I wanted to be a vet, and most of my teenage years and everything, it was all about the animals, and most of my growing up years was all about that. But I also loved computers. Mm-hmm. And so I went into my first business, was in the computer world. And it was the coolest time, because it was just when the internet was starting, and companies were starting to put networks together, and mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, you mean we could send this thing called email all the way around the world in a couple of seconds? That's so cool. And I was fascinated by the communication that computers do. So I became an expert in something called protocol analysis. And what that is how computers, it's TCP/IP, if for those of you who might know that. It's the language of computers. And that fascinated me. And then that brought me into the people side of things, because I started becoming hired as a, what they would call today, a white hat hacker or a social mm-hmm. engineer. And I was hired to break into computers. And sometimes that was because of the people and the personalities of the people. And I'd persuade them to give me their passwords or whatever. And sometimes it was just straight, you know, computer work. So that was a fascinating, fascinating time. And I sold that business. It was over $10 million. I sold that business.
And you started it from scratch.
When I was 19. I made my first deal when I was 22. Yeah. And it was a fantastic time. But after I sold it, I was kind of like, well, I really want to dive into the human side. The what mm-hmm. makes I already knew how at that point for very many years, like two decades, I knew how to walk into any large computer installation and figure out what the problem was inside of the you know, computer room and whatever. I wanted to learn how people really function. And I thought, you know what, if I go into human psychology, I can mix it with all my dog psychology that I already knew, and I can figure out people, and it's going to take me the rest of my life to do that and really help people with their relationships and moving forward. So, yeah. And so after I sold that, Jim, I did go ahead for a couple of years. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And then I wrote The Accidental Millionaire, which was designed to help entrepreneurs, especially service-based entrepreneurs, get a hold and get going and build the system, structure, and relationships that they need in order to build their own million-dollar business.
Mm. Now it's such a great title. Did you write the title to be catchy, or did you feel like this whole thing was just a big accident?
The whole thing I felt was an intentional accident. So the intention part of it was always about following my passion. I was extremely excited about, and still am excited about, communication. So whether that's how computers communicate, how humans communicate, how interspecies communicate, it's all about the communication. And so because I was so passionate about it, people kept coming to us, you know, in the computer world, hiring us, and we just kept going. And pretty soon, you know, the business was a million, and then two, and then five, and then two, and so on, growing. But it wasn't because I set out and said, I'm going to make a bunch of money. No, I was going to follow my gut. Wow. And, you know, here's a little inside story. The first revision of that book, Jim, I wrote it as a how-to book. Mm-hmm. I said, here's how you do it. And I sent it off to an editor, and they said, this is garbage.
We have something else in common.
I was so sad. This is garbage. Go start over. And I was like, well, all right, I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to go fly up to Maui, and I'm going to be by the ocean and the animals there, and I'm going to see what comes out. They said, you have to write your story. And I was terrified. I thought, are you kidding me? The ups and downs and the fear and the worries and the doubts and the sleeplessness. I'm supposed to write about all that for writing a business? Wow. They said, yep, go do it. And so I sat there with that blank page, and I'll tell you what happened. I was in Maui, Hawaii, at mm-hmm. the Kapalua Bay, for anybody who's ever been to Hawaii. And I was sitting in a chair, and I would blank page, and I thought, what am I going to write? I don't know. Where do I start? And this dolphin came flying out of the ocean, and it just mm-hmm. flew out. Now, dolphins signify, in my world, the mana, or the breath of life. And mm-hmm. I thought, time to start. And I got going. And that's how the rest was kind of pretty easy because it was literally writing my story, the ups, the downs, the fall downs, the get back up, the resilience, all those things in building.
Yeah, when I wrote The Magic Newsletter Marketing, my first book, it took me almost a year and a half, and it was just the most laborious task, I guess. So I can't speak. I know I can't write. But then I said, here's the masterpiece. I gave it to an editor. She says, oh my God, this thing didn't say garbage, but it has to be completely reworked. It's all out of order. You'll never get anybody to read it. So I had to really pony up some money and have her fix my stuff. But then, you know, I wrote Decide, my mindset book, in like 60 days. And at that point I was just writing and pouring out. The more I exposed what, you know, I guess Dan Kennedy and others call your kryptonite, the more you tell about all your fears and things that held you back, the more you inspire people and the more they read your stuff. So hence become an open book. Anyway, after you released The Accidental Millionaire, Stephanie, it catapulted your success curve, right? You became, and you'd sold your business. You then became a caregiver to your mother, which something I guess lasted a lot longer than you initially thought.
Yeah, for sure. So as the book was rising and it was catapulting. So the part of that was the part that was missing, let me just fill that in quick, is I had started another company coaching and helping all the businesses and so on. And the book came out, it blew up, and I had just signed contracts and was on my way to New York for television, radio, blah, 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 all the things, right, that everybody dreams about. At exactly the same time, like the same month, I mean, we're talking not just like, oh, it's sort of, no, it was like the same month, my mother came to town. She moved all the way across town. I was the only person she knew, or not town, excuse me, country. She moved from Wisconsin, where I grew up, and all the way to Phoenix. And what was I going to do? Tell her, oh, sorry, I'm glad you're here now, I'm leaving.
Motel 6.
Yeah, exactly. And then shortly after, she proceeded to have a series of chronic things going on. And I thought, well, here I am. What am I going to do? I am at major crossroads. I can go off and say, well, glad you're here, I'm going to New York, or I'm going to take care of my mom. And it got worse. I thought, how bad can this be? You know, it's going to be maybe a year, maybe two. No, it was 10 years. And boy, do I have some stories about that, about being a caregiver and medical advocacy and all those things. I'll tell you, for anybody who's of a certain age where you're taking care of parents or aging parents, they all need advocates. I will tell you that. So that was my choice. And I had to deal with a lot of worry, concern, anger, resentment. You know, here I am doing the things I didn't really want to do. And I gave up the thing that I thought was my dream. But I'll tell you what came out of it is a massive growth, personal growth for me in the areas of leadership, compassion, empathy, time management, organization, all these things that I had to put into practice outside of business became just massive turning points in my life.
That's so interesting. And now what upsets me is I waited this long to reconnect with you. But, you know, when I wrote my seventh book was Serve First, it was really about the importance of serving others and how if you do it with the right heart, it benefits you anyway. It's not like a slot machine or vending machine. But when you put others first and take care of other people, and it's just fascinating. And so, yeah, you were doing the right thing at the right time. I want to transition into the new business, but before we go, I want to just talk a little bit more about Accidental Millionaire. In there, you went at it with the thought, I'm going to help other entrepreneurs, you know, create more success. And one of the things I know you talked about was how to be more productive and how to stop sabotaging your own financial success. I'll let you pick one of those, whichever one you can just talk about for a couple of minutes.
Sure. Well, you know, what I do today, and those are two different questions, but I'll tell you this, what I do today is a little different than what I did then. So as far as the productivity part, I am just, you know, just massively interested in breaking down things into tiny little sections. And I'm having a lot of fun with what I call the Pomodoro, well, I don't call it, but it's the Pomodoro method. But what I call it is the tomato clock. Pomodoro method of time management is kind of fun because you break down your hour, an hour, into 25-minute segments, then you take a break. Okay. And I have a little, app on my phone. It's called Flow, by the way. I don't know who makes it, but it's free up in the app store. And it goes for 25 minutes with a little metronome. And I can't tell you, that's the time that I get a lot done with that Flow method. I call it the tomato method because Pomodoro means tomato in Italian. So I like to have fun in during the day. So I'm like, oh, that thing's going to cost me four tomatoes, you know, or two tomatoes. And so it makes time management a little bit fun. Sabotaging the financial part, you know, that goes on on a big scale in a lot of different ways that we're doing it. But the first thing is having some respect and gratitude for the money that is coming into your life. What I hear a lot of people say is, well, I only made X amount, or I only did this or that. And I'll tell them a story. And this just happened last week because I've been doing this for now for 25 years. And that is, if you see a penny, pick it up. Okay. It's money. And last week I was walking in our neighborhood and I had a friend who I walked into the driveway and I saw a penny and I was like, oh, I better pick that up. That's money. Money came to me. I don't care some of my book royalties have been 4 cents and I've been super excited because you get started. Right. Mm-hmm. And so then I found a penny. Then I found a quarter. Then I found five more cents. Then I found, you know, whatever. And I ended up with this handful of change that I took to my neighbor and said, here, I found a bunch of money and I gave it back to him. And I don't know, got lost in his driveway. But the other thing is, there is a serious lack of commitment for paying yourself first. And that has always been something that I have shared and will continue to do so. And now there are great services out there that weren't there way back when I wrote the book. Things like Stash, where you can invest, I don't care if it's $5 a month, $5 a week. If you're, you know, saying, well, I don't have any money to invest, I call, you know what, on that, because they allow to just build that habit. And it's so much more about the habit than the actual amount of money. And so that just having a money coming in, even if it's $5, will help you sabotage or stop the sabotage.
Do I hear a dog?
No.
Oh, I thought I heard a dog.
The dog's out the other way. Sorry. No, something fell off my desk, actually.
Oh. So anyway, if you're just popping up here on Facebook Live or watching this, on YouTube, you know, my special guest is Stephanie Frank. She wrote an amazing book called The Accidental Millionaire. You've been helping millionaires. You've been helping entrepreneurs build million-dollar businesses for like over 20 years, I think, at this point. What made you decide to pivot and start working, you know, with dog-loving entrepreneurs, which everybody says niches, riches and niches, dog-loving entrepreneurs. So tell me about that journey.
Well, it's funny because to the outside world, it's a pivot. To me, it's just what I've always been doing. And so all of my clients happen to be dog lovers. And I have for decades, because I'm also a dog psychologist, I've used a lot, as well as a human psychologist now, I have used dog analogies forever with my clients. Mm. And so, you know, the thing is, when you're thinking about, let's say, you know, you're running a business, okay, and you have to lead that business. And there's so many things that you have to do to be a leader. Well, dogs really represent leadership in all kinds of different ways. You're a strong leader, front of the pack. You might be you want to get a consensus, maybe middle of the pack. This is sort of like birth order with families too, the firstborn, middleborn, lastborn, or you're back in the back making decisions from behind. So what I found is those analogies hit with my clients a lot easier than saying, gee, you should really lead this other way, or you should deal with your employees in a different way, or deal with your spouse in a different way. Instead, I'll say, well, let's see, if you tied a leash around your employee's neck and yanked it and were a jerk, how long do you think they'd stay with you? Hmm. Right? How do you walk your dog? Well, I yank them around and I do the thing. Well, if you did that with people, how would it work? So it just simply has been a natural progression. And so what's happening now is people are coming in, and this is again public, you know, it's been private for a long time. Jim, I never knew when my phone rang for the last 20 years, whether it's going to be I pick up the phone. They say, Steph, my dog's peeing on the rug. I don't understand my cash flow statement, or I'm about to get divorced. Can you please help me with my spouse? It's like, all right, they all need to come together.
Wow.
And that's kind of
so what. Are you saying, so did you study dogs, or like, I mean, how did you gather this knowledge that you're applying in, across all kinds of relationships?
Yes. So I am certified in behavior consultancy for animals. I'm also fearful certified for the dogs. And I have studied under a number of different dog, I guess you call them dog trainers, dog psychologists. There's a difference for many, many years. And of course, I was born with the aptitude. So yes, it's been a big study of mine.
So, you know, you said a couple of minutes ago about the leaders of the pack or pack leaders have different personalities, different traits. And that's certainly true in humans, too. So How did you connect the two? Or are you, I'm having a hard time connecting the whole thing.
Right. Of course. So, you know, humans have personality types. And I think probably all of your listeners have heard of something, some personality type, whether it's DISC or Myers-Briggs or the colors or the right. So everybody's heard about that. And a lot of times people think, oh, that's kind of fun. And, you know, we'll do that and whatever. What I did when I first started learning about that, again, it was about, I think about 22 years ago is when I first got certified in personality typing and profiling. I really thought this could be life changing for in relationships. So for example, just take colors for a second. If you're the color red and the personality type, and your spouse is a green, okay, or whatever colors, I'm just making stuff up as we go. Well, obviously red and green are two different colors. That means two different ways of approaching life, two different ways of approaching situations, communication types, all of those things are different. There will be conflict unless you understand I'm a red, you're a green. Let's figure out and be curious about what that means.
Mm.
Dogs are the same way.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. You can put, and this is where people get a little confused. They're like, well, I have a German Shepherd, or I have a boxer, or I have a, you know, whatever kind of dog you might have. I have a Bichon. Okay. So every dog, of course, has certain breed characteristics. You know, a German Shepherd, we think of the rough and, you know, front of the pack kind of thing. Poodles, a little different. Doodles, a little different. But the thing is if you put 10 German Shepherds, let's say, all together, they'll all have the same or similar breed characteristics, instincts. But not all of them will have the same personality. One might be bold or red. One might be a little more shy or green.
Okay.
A little more skittish. Let's put it that way. Dogs and people have the same personality types, which is why I wrote the bark type assessment. But unless you understand that, you're going to have lots of trouble leading your company, leading your life, leading in your relationship, or being with any of your packs, whether it's human or canine.
So right before we went live, we're having a great old conversation. I was asking you some questions. I completely forgot about the clock. we're live. But I said, when did you pivot from working, you know, people, being an entrepreneur coach and now working with dogs? You said, well, I really haven't. I just renamed it and rebranded. And I said, wow, that's a great lesson to share.
Yeah.
So let's assume what I just said as a question. How and when did you rebrand what you're doing? What you've been doing?
It's still kind of happening. I just did it in the last 6 months, but I've been thinking about it for a long time. And the question that was in my mind was, if all my clients are dog lovers, why am I not putting that out publicly?
So you didn't seek dog lovers. It just, you kind of look back and go, every one of my great clients happens to be a dog lover.
Yeah. Or an animal lover, you know, and in the first 2 pages, I think, of the foreword or whatever in Accidental Millionaire, I wrote all about the animals that had come to visit while I was writing. And that by itself attracted an audience of people who loved animals in general. So that's been kind of my thing.
So when did you decide to rebrand or change the name of what you're doing?
I decided probably about 8 months ago, but I actually did it only about 3 months ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I remember you did a big push and that's what caught my eye again. Oh, look what Stephanie's doing. I reached out to you.
We're working on it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting how that happens sometimes. And part of it is just keeping your eyes open, your ears open. You know, as a coach, one of the times when sometimes one of my clients will tell me, oh, we just got a new client or we just got this. I said, and they want to move on. I said, hold on. Where'd they come from? How were they referred? How did they, if they weren't referred, how did they find you? What did they say to you when they said, oh, I need your help? What did they ask? Tell me everything about that. It's kind of like CSI, like figure out the back thing so you can go for more of that, right? So there's some, that's a really big clue. We got about 5 minutes left, Stephanie. What's the first leadership skill entrepreneurs and certainly include dog lovers must master? Because you must have been a great leader to build a, you know, $5+ million business.
Yeah, well, the first thing I think that there are lots of leadership skills that are universal. I believe that the very first thing you have to do is know yourself inside and out, starting with your personality. What's important to you? How do you experience the world? Things like that. Because once you know those things, you know what kind of leader you're going to be. And then once you know what kind of leader you're going to be, you are much more successful in doing the things that people tell you to do, like surround yourself with like-minded people and things like that. What I think the biggest pitfall that business owners or entrepreneurs do, and I just heard this yesterday, they said that is, I'll go figure it out and then I'll teach it to somebody to do it the way that I want it done, whatever it is.
Okay.
Right? Big, big mistake. Because, you know, when you think about it, think of large corporations, very large corporations. Does the CEO of General Motors, I don't know, when the CEO is not busy, go down in the mailroom and lick stamps?
No.
No, of course. Do they even know how the mail goes out?
They don't know where the mailroom is.
Right, exactly. And that's what you should aspire to is, and a lot of people have trouble with that. And leadership doesn't mean putting the choke collar on and dragging people around. It means being really clear on your vision, on your mission, and your strengths, your weaknesses, and how to fill those gaps. Once you know that, and you can explain to people not how to do their job, but I think there's a famous saying out there right now is who, not how, right? Is who can do the job? We're growing right now, and I'm looking for a couple of people to help me with certain things. And I've got gobs of people are coming in saying, I'll give you a course. I'll teach you this. I'll teach. I don't want to learn the mail world. Okay, I'm good at my things. And so you lead by setting the goals or the objectives for the person. And once they know what the goal or objective is, now that you would assume that they have the skills to do the job that you're hiring them for.
What do you think is the biggest trap that most pack leaders fall into?
I kind of already said it. It said dictatorship. It's okay. All right. Sit somebody down, tell them
my way or the highway.
Yeah. And yeah, quick story before we go. You know, I learned this quite early in my first company. I was probably 20, 21 years old, and I was that dictator. And I was telling everybody how to do their job, the salespeople and this and that. And we had, I don't know, 15 or so people. I didn't know everybody's job, but I thought I did. And I thought I had to. And so one day a salesperson came to me and he said, if you tell me no one more time or how to do my job one more time. He was, of course, our top person. I'm leaving. I was like, you are not. You'll be here. You'll do blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, guess what? I tried to tell him again how to do it. And he got up and walked out. And that was a big lesson, you know, in stop being such a dictator and instead be kind, be focused on your vision, on your mission. That's your job as the head of your company is to have your vision, have your people, and figure out how to get it funded. That's it.
Wow. What a great half hour, Steffi. Thank you so much. I'm really glad we reconnected. You shared some really wonderful things. So is the Bark Type, is that a book people can get now?
BarkType is online. You can just go to barktype.com. And it's also at my website, which is at fetchyourbestlife.com. And it's just a simple 11 question quiz that'll tell you your dog's bark type, and it'll tell you how to deal a little bit better with your dog, which also translates to people.
Wonderful. So if I was to ask another time, what's the best place to connect with you? Is it fetchyourbestlife.com?
It is.
Great. Stephanie Frank, thank you so much. What a pleasure to have you on Dream Business Radio.
Jim, it was so much fun.
Oh my goodness. Hey folks, what a great half hour. I suggest you re-listen to this. There's quite a few nuggets of wisdom in there. And thanks again, Melanie, for connecting us all those years back. So you can connect with Stephanie again at fetchyourbestlife.com. You can connect with me at getjimpalmer.com. But that's it. Until this time next week, another fantastic interview. I am Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. You take good care.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.